I'm Stephanie Sachs, and I like to stir the pot. Stirring the Pot brings together the best minds in food, nutrition, and health to discuss some of the hottest topics. Each week, we offer answers to your burning questions, share a good brand, a weekly yum recipe, and have a rock-solid guest. It's our goal to inform and inspire when it comes to my lifelong passion. In the 1980s, my obsession with food and how it impacts health began. After years of schooling, I'm proud to call myself a culinary nutritionist, a professional chef with a master's degree in nutrition. Now I help people get healthy and stay healthy by giving them the lowdown on what the fork they're really eating. Stirring the Pot, where nutritious always meets delicious, is proudly presented by Naturopathica Healing Arts Center and Spa and Saunders & Associates. Stirring the Pot. Stirring the Pot. Today's show is Plan for Thin. And I'll be speaking with Lauren Slayton, nutritionist, food trainers, founder, and author of The Little Book of Thin. But before we dive into that, here's Drive Through Nutrition. Beep, 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 yeah. In a fast-paced world of bad food choices, how can you make better ones? In other words, what can you tweak in your day-to-day to make a difference in your health? Gear, I actually have an email that I received from somebody. They said this: I know you have done a show on animals and antibiotic use, but I'm confused. Do I need to be worried about antibiotic residue in my meats, or is it some kind of bacteria? Do you remember? I'm quizzing you.
I remember the show, yeah.
Okay, but do you remember what the answer is?
Oh, the residue. It's not the bacteria. It's that you get the antibiotics.
Gong. Wrong.
Well, no. What do you mean wrong?
Oh, I'll tell you. Let me clarify. I actually just went to TEDx Manhattan, which was a rock solid day conference with some amazing speakers, including Andrew Gunther and Dr. Lance Price, both of whom had this to offer. It's not the residues. What's happened is, I think it's 29 billion pounds of antibiotics are used on livestock at subtherapeutic levels to prevent disease in the animals because they are so mistreated. They sit in their feces and often get sick. And what's happened is this prophylactic use of antibiotics has spawned bacteria in these animals that are resistant to antibiotics. And when we eat that meat, we also eat those antibiotic-resistant bacterias. So what's happening in the human population, and I found out, actually, I think there are roughly 23,000 deaths a year of people who get some form of bacteria from meat that cannot be treated with antibiotics, and they die because these antibiotics are now resistant to this bacteria.
Why do they call them superbugs? I've heard of those.
Yeah, so those are the superbugs.
Right.
So folks, I've said this before and I'll say it again. 97% of our animal foods come from factory farms. And that's where these superbugs live, in these animals. So do your best to buy animal welfare approved at animalwelfareapproved.org or certified humane. And they both come with a blue, green, and white label. And it's the highest quality verification you can get for your meats. Check out Certified Humane, check out Animal Welfare Approved, and I urge you to try to buy that. Also, USDA Organic.
Rock solid advice, Stephanie, as always.
Well, thank you, Gear. If you want to be on Drive Through Nutrition to address your questions or concerns, email me at info@stephaniesachs.com. Join the conversation on air. It can make a difference in your health. You're listening to Stirring the Pot with Stephanie Sachs on WPPB 88.3 FM. Peconic Public Broadcasting, Southampton, New York, serving the East End of Long Island and Southern Connecticut. Now, onto the good brand of the week.
My favorite part of the entire show.
Okay, so this is really yummy.
I'm starting to buy these things, by the way.
Oh.
I now have a list.
Oh, good.
I made this list for myself. Is there a list of all your good brands on your website?
Oh, no. You know what? That's going to come out in my book.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Which comes out in...
Fork, are you eating? An action plan for your pantry and plate thanks to Torture Penguin Random House, will be out this year.
Da-da-da-da, I can't wait.
Yes, and there will be a brand list on that.
Fantastic.
But for now, you have the radio show. So a couple weeks ago, I was in New York City at a health conference, and I came across this early bird crack of dawn breakfast bar. And I decided to open it up. The ingredients worked for me. There's rolled oats, coconut, puffed rice, sunflower seeds, some dried fruit, light brown sugar, olive oil.
It looks like something you'd feed the birds.
Well, it does. Early bird, right. So anyway, I was thrilled to walk into Jack's Coffee Shop in Amagansett a couple days ago.
Oh, and see it there?
And see it there. And so I picked one up for you, Gear. And
oh,
here it
good.
Is.
Thank you. Yes. Hand
okay.
it over.
I think you're going to like it. It's really good. And you can check this company out at earlybirdfoods.com. What do you think? It's not too sweet.
No, it's really good. It's right up there in the running with the kind bars.
Oh, I think it's actually...
better?
Yeah,
oh.
I do. It's all for you, honey. It's my present
you.
To you today.
Thank you.
You know, I want to say to all of you out there, if you have any good brands that you want me to check out, definitely email me.
Oh, at, yeah, share them.
Yeah, share them at info@stephaniesachs.com, and that's Stephanie with an F for food, because we know Gear will love to taste them.
Breakfast, black coffee, one slice of dry toast. No butter, no jelly, no jam. Lunch, just some lettuce, two celery stalks. No booze, no potatoes, no ham.
And now it's time for our guest. Lauren Slayton received her undergraduate degree from Tulane University, where she studied sociology. It was here, amidst Party Central, that she first realized the challenges of balancing work and play, healthy and indulgent. She completed her master's degree in clinical nutrition at New York University. Prior to opening Food Trainers in New York City, Lauren worked at St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital Obesity Research Unit and developed a nutrition program for the Equinox Fitness Club. In the fall of 2001, Food Trainers opened. She conducts frequent nutrition lectures and webinars on topics ranging from trimming your travel to dude foods. She has written for and been quoted in articles from many websites, magazines, and television programs, including Allure, Harper's Bazaar, WebMD, The New York Post, Jon Stewart's Daily Show, ABC's Eyewitness News, Fox News, Good Morning America, and The Today Show. Lauren's intelligent wit and clever ideas make the topic of nutrition and weight loss truly digestible and utterly doable. And you can read all about it in her little book of Thin. Welcome to Stirring the Pot, Lauren.
Happy to be talking.
Yes.
Happy to be stirring the pot.
Oh, my God. What a fun person to stir the pot with. So how did you get interested in nutrition?
I think I was always interested in nutrition. I just don't think, you know, this was the 90s that I saw it as a viable or respectable career. So I was in college sort of completing my pre-med classes, and there was like this nutrition elective. It wasn't even a real class. It was offered in my college's athletic center, to give you an idea. But it was, you know, like love at first lecture. And
love at first lecture.
It was. I sat out there and I was like, this is amazing. Like, can I do this for a job? But it was, you know, nutritionists were dietitians in lab coats at the time. So
right.
It was like a leap to be, you know, made in terms of how was this going to work in the way that I wanted to work it.
You are not that nutritionist in a lab coat. We both know many nutritionists who could wear a lab coat. Your approach is super unique. So how would you define your shtick? Because I do call it a shtick.
Is it a shtick?
I think so.
Well, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I think, you know, there's a lot of experts who can probably cite research studies more adeptly than I can, you know, perhaps. And I also think there's a lot of nutrition experts in articles and books that I don't necessarily want to listen to or read.
Right.
And it's not because their information is wrong. Well, like sometimes it is. But,
right.
It's because the facts and the figures, all of those, they're not necessarily about how we implement something. And it's not always presented in an entertaining or a memorable way. So that's always been sort of, you know, our hook. We call ourselves on our business cards nutrition troubleshooters. How are we going to make
or troublemakers?
Well, depends on the day. But and also how, you know, we remember things when there's a story or when there's humor. How, you know, a client just now said to me, Lauren, your voice is in my head. She's leaving for a beach vacation that, you know, you don't eat French fries in a swimsuit. Like, you know, whatever it is for each person, like, what are the things that they're going to remember when they're not seeing or reading me anymore?
Well, exactly. And I'm holding your book here, The Little Book of Thin, which I think is awesome. And you have this LBT lingo.
Yes.
Afternoon Ammunition, which are smart snacks that you can use to fight off urges for the candy bowl. Anchor Behavior, the one food or exercise behavior you'll stick with. Debloaters, foods that can act in different manners to extinguish that extra layer of bloat. So you have really clever terminology that you use and really have taken topic that's kind of dry.
Right.
Nutritional weight loss.
I mean, if that's dry, the sort of hook of the book is planning. It's all about planning for the situations that take us, you know, out of our routine. So try to make nutrition and then try to make planning somewhat entertaining. It's a challenge. But I think it's also, once people do see that it doesn't have to be dry and boring, then they're invested. I mean, we have to laugh at this, right?
We have to, because I think otherwise we'd cry.
But I also think, it's one part humor and making it light, and it's another part realizing that even, like, my desk is now covered in, like, you know, spring break foods, but, like, it's also about it's feeling good about ourselves. So it's not just, you know, it's one part sort of superficial and the other part really real.
Absolutely. It's inspirational and doable.
Yeah.
That's what I find. So what is Food Trainers exactly?
So one of my first jobs out of the grad school gate, was at a few different Equinox fitness clubs. And I would, you know, sort of race back and forth seeing as many clients as I could from these different locations. I was a little bit of a nutrition whore because I was so excited to be doing what I was doing. But I noticed, because I was working in these gyms, that the same clients who would brag about their amazing trainer and tell all their friends would hide when it was time for their session. Like, they'd be 5 minutes late so that nobody would see them coming or going. And I was, you know, sort of, you know, I didn't take it personally, but, like, why was coming to see a nutritionist embarrassing? I think at that time it implied, seeing a nutritionist implied being super overweight, or, you know, it wasn't about something you did to feel your best. So I really wanted to see if nutrition could be viewed in the same way, you know, just an ongoing relationship where you approach sort of like what the week will bring your way, and that it's not necessarily, you know, taboo or shameful.
Right. So then who is your typical client and how do you work with them?
I mean, I think I could be my typical client.
Right.
You know, I think it's someone who likes accountability, you know, who sort of, like, we can all eat on our own, but do we eat, you know, our best way on our own? No.
Right.
Our clients are busy, whether they're busy with family or travel or just stuff. Someone who likes to eat but also likes their clothes fitting well. Who wants to age nicely or gracefully. So I think that, you know, that's it. My clients are sort of average New Yorkers. We have clients in other cities too, thanks to technology.
Right.
But, you know, so I think that's who it is. It's not, you know, we have athletes, but they're not, our whole clientele isn't necessarily, you know, Ironman triathletes.
Right.
But it really is, like, I think we all can, like, figure it out to a certain extent, and then it's nice to outsource to make sure that we're really getting what we should be.
And do you work with kids as well?
Under 12, I see parents. I just don't believe in, you know, sort of bringing a 5-year-old in to talk to me. you know, unless there's, you know, I will talk to them about allergies. I will talk
right.
about a minute, but not about, you know, their weight. At that point, it's all in, you know, sort of a parent's hands for the most part.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of sessions with teens, with, you know, sort of college age kids, which is, you know, sort of a tricky time, and then all the way up through, you know, octogenarians.
Octogenarians. So how do you measure success? Is it a scale? Is it a pair of pants? Is it just how somebody feels?
Yeah, I mean, actually, in terms of the scale, like, we at Food Trainers, we weigh all of our clients facing backwards. So we do, you know, sort of measure it, but it's not sort of like that. Clients don't come in and I won't play like the number game. I was, you know, 150 at home, but I'm 152 at your office. And I like, that's useless. But it is sort of one indicator. But, like, how is a client feeling? How is their energy, their confidence? You know, how are they sleeping? How does their skin look? I mean, you can usually, you know, I remember in the hospital, they would say, first look at the patient or the client.
Right, right.
You know, do clients feel happy that their eating feels organized, or that their, you know, sort of thoughts around food are more positive? So if so, great. But if the scale goes down and I don't see any of these other changes, then it's sort of meaningless to me.
Right, right. So in the end, it's about how the client is feeling.
it's about how they're feeling, and it's also about what they're after.
Yeah.
You know, so we have a checklist that, you know, everybody checks the weight box in some manner.
Right.
But, you know, sort of there's all these, and what's nice with, and you know this as well as anybody, with nutrition and cooking and eating is that, you know, we kill many unhealthy birds with one stone. So you're going to put this change in place, and you're going to see it might affect things that you never thought it would. And that's, you know, that's nice to see.
It's the tip of the iceberg. So we're going to be right back to continue this conversation with Lauren Slayton and talk about her book, The Little Book of Thin, and how she conceived of it and what it's all about. I'm Stephanie Sachs, and with me is Lauren Slayton, nutritionist, food trainer's founder, and author of The Little Book of Thin. And we're talking about how Lauren's book and her tactic to weight loss is super helpful and a little ball busting. But I want to read an excerpt from your book. When you wing it, you end up with the bagel at breakfast meeting or the candy bowl in the afternoon. Believe it or not, more diets are lost because of a hectic schedule than an extra treat. So, Lauren, what is the premise for this little...
I love hearing this book read out loud. It's like an audiobook.
I know, right?
Right.
So what's the premise for this book?
Well, I sat down. I was lucky enough to find an agent, and she said to me, you know, your first book has to be the Food Trainer's Book. That's the name of my practice, and it's, you know, fairly successful for the past decade. But I sat down to write it, and it was... it was terrible because my client, you know, we do everything we do is individualized. So my clients are 20 and some are 60. Are they, you know, I didn't know who I was writing for. Are they working? Are they, you know, a student? And so we met again and I was, you know, sort of dejected and I was, you know, spewing ideas. And I finally looked at her and I said, it's just all about the planning. And her eyes lit up and she's like, that's the book. So, you know, that's sort of the premise of the book is, we all, many of us have a general idea of healthy is, but there's
right.
all these situations, and some of them are big, like, you know, vacation and, you know, things of that nature. But some of them are just, you know, that candy bowl you mentioned in the office. We sort of picked at these areas and came up with a solution for each of them. And the other thing that my agent, who you know, had said to me, she
right.
said, and Lauren, the solution for each of these, you know, sort of dilemmas can't be that people bring their own everywhere. Okay, got it. That wouldn't be a very interesting book.
Okay, I want to talk about these 10 steps to svelte.
Yes.
Because I love that, and I love the lingo that you use. So what are they?
Well, first, I think that, you know, everyone, if I had a dollar for every person that said, you know, nutrition is so confusing, I would, you know, be in a much more luxurious office suite than I am right now, but or not working.
Right.
So I really wanted to bottom line it. Here are the 10 steps. Maybe you have some of them mastered. Focus on a couple of the others and continue to focus them. And, you know, it's like your wardrobe essentials. These are your, you know, nutrition essentials. But we need to master those before we, you know, get more specific. And they're what I do with my clients, you know, any new client.
Right. So, like, one of them here is sleep 7 hours a night. Close the kitchen door after dinner. I love
yes.
that one.
That's that made me, like, unpopular with a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah. I think we're just one of the ways sort of nutrition, you know, isn't doing us any favors is that, like, dessert is daily for many, many people. And I think the thought, like, what, I can't have anything? But really, once a couple of nights of, you know, even when clients look at me like I'm crazy, a couple of days of sort of going, you know, not having that dessert, and then it becomes second nature.
Right. No, exactly. You know, I close the kitchen door at night, well, you know, figuratively.
Yep.
And then I hear my husband walk in about 6 times.
Yep. I have a client whose husband, we wrote about this in the book, he calls her the raccoon because he thinks she goes, like, trolling for things late at night. Not that cute. But.
No, but I mean, so anyway, those are great. And then you go into what you call sort of as your no-nos.
Yeah.
And so I do want to go over some of those.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's the thing is that I think that, you know, I love goals that are additive and proactive. Add this to your diet. Try that. You know, try some fermented foods, et cetera. But I also think that there, you don't want to beat around the bush if there's, you know, something lurking that just isn't doing you or your family any favors.
Well, I mean, here you say no soda, and that's diet included. And on the rebound, which is better options, you know, Hint, Fizz, eBoost, or sparkling herbal water. So what you're saying is don't do this, but do this instead. And my favorite, of course, which is actually what I wrote about in my blog this week, is no diet food.
Yes. I mean, and I think people are starting to get it. There's a couple of things. There's one, if you say to somebody, these foods are just unhealthy, I'm going to listen to that. That's not going to be the hook for everybody. But what you really do see, and it's fascinating when you look at the research, is that diet soda leads to weight gain. A lot of these, you know, sort of the ingredients that what they do in terms of our endocrine system in a lot of these diet foods, they're not diet foods.
No, they're definitively not diet foods. They're pro-inflammatory powerhouses.
Absolutely. And I think that that's what people are sort of we've known that. We've known that sort of metabolic havoc these foods wreak. But to really sort of, and then to say, you know what, what's so nice to me is that the food that really ends up tasting good, that whole food, is the food that we obviously should all be eating and also usually have these, like, hidden ingredients, whether it's in, like, a pastured butter, et cetera, that not only is better for us than the crap, but has a secret weapon built inside it naturally.
Right, the real food.
Yeah.
So you're anti-skim dairy.
Completely.
And, well, as am I, but I'd love to know why you are. I think our listeners should hear this.
Yeah, I mean, I think my interest... Obviously, I started practicing at the height of fat-free everything.
Right.
Never fully embraced it. And we do a lot of work with clients who are trying to conceive or prenatal through their pregnancies, et cetera. And I had read a book by Walter Willett at Harvard called Fertility Foods. And he had mentioned that the process of removing the fat from milk, it's really gross, concentrates the androgens, which are the male hormones. So it adversely affects fertility. And then it got sort of my wheels turning. Well, if it adversely affects fertility, what else is it adversely affecting? And what you really see is that fat-free makes you fatter. A huge study, it was 20,000 women, I think it was in Sweden, found that those who, over 10 years, so it was a good study, who increased their skim consumption gained 10% over 9 years. And those who increased their whole milk consumption, just one serving a day, lost 9% on average. And there's a whole host of reasons for that. It's definitely legit. It tastes better. We need fat to absorb that vitamin D, which sort of masterminds our appetite, et cetera. So it can be whole milk. It can be, if people are phobic, they could start bumping themselves up gradually.
Right.
But it really is a change that's worthwhile.
So then what, in a nutshell, no pun intended, what foods and strategies are central to weight loss for you?
So there's two in the book that I really like. One is the walkthrough, which is just like an exercise that people can do when they're getting ready in the morning, when they're showering, et cetera. And it's just walking yourself through your day. Where am I going to be for breakfast? What is breakfast? Do I need to pick up any items at the store? Am I going to be, you know, at home for lunch, or am I going to be out? Automatically, you're going to sort of pick up some things that you need to either bring with you, need to stop for, need to make time for, and it just troubleshoots, you know, in a couple of minutes a day. So that's one that I love. And it gets us being, you know, let me think of my day in advance rather than thinking of it at the end of the day and all the things I did wrong.
Right.
So you're sort of, you know, going to get to them before they get to you.
You're planning it,
but I think when you say plan your day, like, people are like, what does that mean?
Right.
I know I'm going to go to work, whatever it is. So that's one of them. The second I love is, and it's all about, you know, sort of infusing this part of our lives with positivity, is the victory list. So inevitably, clients come in for their weekly visits and they confess. I didn't drink enough water. I didn't keep my food journal. I didn't exercise. I ate the bread basket. I, you know, had dessert all week, whatever it is.
So what did you do that was positive?
That's my next question. And they're like, I don't spend any time thinking about that. I'm like, okay, so we're going to do that now. But I also, the harder a client is on themselves, and I think most of us, when it comes to how we eat, are hard on ourselves because we have this sense of a report card. You know, I was good or I was bad. So I have them keep just one victory a day, and it has to be something that's, you know, of some significance, not just like I woke up, but like something in, you know, that they, you know, took a little bit of time, whether it's had a cup of green tea or cut up some vegetables, or did not, you know, skipped the bread basket or the muffin at the meeting.
Well, I love the positive reinforcement, you know, and we have to, unfortunately, you and I could go on forever, but people can find you at foodtrainers.com and they can order your book through there. Right. And
Amazon and Barnes and Noble.
Yeah. And you're linked to the nines on my site as well.
Excellent.
So, Lauren, what a treat to talk to you about this topic.
Hey, it's such a pleasure. So much fun.
Yeah. So keep up the great work. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now it's time for the weekly Yum Coast to Coast with Sex and Cats.
Life is just a bowl of cherries. Don't make it serious. Life's too mysterious. The sweet things in life to you were just loaned. So how can you lose what you've never owned? Life is just a bowl of cherries. So live and laugh at it all.
Hello, darling Rebecca.
Hello, Stephanie.
What are you cooking up today?
Oh, I'm making one of my favorite salads ever, but it's a walnut, date, and herb salad. It's from the Longevity Kitchen, but I have to tell you that it didn't start off as a salad.
What was it?
It started out as what was going to be a little appetizer, a little finger food.
Mm.
And you know that I have about as much patience as a gnat. And so here I am. It was like, I Love Lucy, where Lucille Ball freaks out on the chocolate assembly line.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Wait, should we let everybody know what our nicknames are?
Go ahead.
Okay, so you're Lucy and I'm Ethel.
There you have it.
And that's what we call each other, and we've been calling each other that for a while. So, Lucy, do tell the story.
So, all right, Ethel, well, you know, here I am. I'm taking the walnut, and I'm smudging the goat cheese on, and I'm, like, putting it on a date with a mint leaf on top, okay? Now, and the company is, like, about to descend on my house, and I may have, like, 10 done. And I'm like, oh, forget it. So I threw everything in a bowl with some arugula and parsley and you know, I just chopped the rest of the dates and the mint, and I threw it in, and I had some of my yummy lemony balsamic vinaigrette, because I always keep, you know, some homemade salad dressing in my refrigerator for emergencies like this. And I
Like this was an emergency.
The major emergency. I tossed it together as a salad, and it was such a hit. And of course, there's a lot of ways where nutritious meets delicious here, because I know you're going to ask me.
Of course I am.
And, you know, the leafy greens in and of themselves are full of folate, which is good for the brain.
Mm.
And the dates are a classic longevity food. It's like sweet, but there's fiber in there. And, of course, walnuts make you smarter because they've got omega-3s in them.
I could use some brain food right now.
So there you have it.
Wow.
Not bad.
I love the story, the birth of a recipe. So don't forget to check out the weekly Yum recipe this week. It's walnut, date, and herb salad, and you can find it on my blog at stephaniesacks.com. I'm not a fan of diet books, but there are those, like The Little Book of Thin, that are more about realistic strategies for weight loss that I 100% support. Folks, statistically, fad diets don't work for weight loss, so go for Slayton's superior planning strategies because they can make a real difference. So I'd like to thank my guests, Lauren Slayton, Rebecca Katz, and to everybody who helps me stir the pot, including Geir Magnuson, James Blueweiss, and Nancy Atlas. To stay updated and informed and to keep this conversation going, sign up for my weekly blog at stephaniesacks.com. Skinny Crap is this week's title. And you can catch the weekly Yum recipe there as well. For next week, Mary Beth Augustine will once again join Stirring the Pot, but this time to talk about her new book, co-authored with Dr. Woodson Merrill, The Detox Prescription Plan. I love healthy detox programs prescribed by the professionals who really know what they're doing. This show would not be possible without the generous support of Naturopathica Healing Arts Center and Spa and Saunders & Associates. And thank you for tuning in to WPPB 88.3 for Stirring the Pot, where nutritious always meets delicious.